Hello, my name is Meg. Welcome to the Unedited Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. The goal of this podcast is to help you both develop and enjoy the habit of daily Bible reading and prayer. About 20 years ago, at a very low spot in my life, I was convicted to begin this simple discipline, and I looked up years down the road to see how God had used this habit to heal deep places in my heart and do incredible things in my life. And so over the years, it's really become my greatest passion to help others get to know Jesus through His Word and through His presence. Through this podcast, I'm hoping to help you see the Word of God with fresh eyes, to learn to slow down with your Bible, and ultimately to fall in love with Jesus and to fall in love with your Bible. So thank you so much for joining me today. I am truly so grateful that you are here. Hello, happy Friday. Welcome to Unedited. So super excited that you are here. What a gift. I hope you are having an incredible, incredible day. This is episode 151. Let's go behind the scenes, and I'm going to share an unedited journal entry called Pass the Voices. Today, I just want to encourage you to go behind the scenes in the Word of God. Now, I want to preface this. There's a lot of qualifications and clarification. We cannot add to or take away from the Word of God. So important. And the first and most important reason we read our Word is to know how to be saved. Second most important reason we read our Word is to feed our soul, to feed our spirit man, to fuel our walk with God, to fuel our lives. I could go on and on about the reasons we read the Word, but I want to be very clear. We cannot add to the Word of God. But what I want to encourage you to do is to slow down with the Word of God. When you read a story in the Bible, that story was scripted there by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every single word in the Bible was inspired by God. I heard Kim Haney say yesterday, I was listening to a sermon from her, and she said, every inch of the Bible is inspired by God, and we cannot forget that. And the Bible tells us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so God scripted these stories into His Word, whether they're Old Testament stories or New Testament stories, for us to be encouraged, for us to be inspired, for us to have an example of how people walked with Him or how people didn't walk with Him. We have good guys and we have bad guys in the Word of God. We have the Davids and the Josephs, and we have the Sauls, and we are to learn from them. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to go behind the scenes of the Word of God. Again, if you don't have a strong doctrine basis or foundation, probably need to be a little careful of this. You need to make sure you know what you believe about salvation and about several other doctrines. But when you read through the Word of God, imagine how the people felt. The same human emotions that we experience, they experienced. They were not superhuman. They were not supernatural. They were not superheroes. They were ordinary people in the middle of ordinary lives. How did it feel when Abraham was given a promise after he and his wife had been unable to have children for 75 years? He's 75. God tells him He's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to give him a son. And Abraham is required to wait for this promise to come to pass for 75 years. We know Abraham's storyline. We know how God brought it all to pass. But Abraham was human, and that was a long time to wait. How did he feel? How would you feel? And this can really help us fall in love with our Bibles. This can really help us fall in love with the Word of God. This can really help us learn to develop a relationship with our Bibles, when we see it as so much more than black and white words on a page. How did David feel when his baby died as a result of his sin, as a consequence for his failure? how did Jesus feel as he prayed in the garden and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? So again, do not add to the word of God. We cannot add to the word of God. I want to be so clear about this. But we can use our imagination. And when we are given two lines, and that's all we know of someone's story, or when we are given just a short chapter of someone's life, or when we are given maybe 20 or 30 chapters about someone's life, we can read between the lines and think about how they may have felt. And that does help bring the Bible to life. And so use your imagination. God gave you an imagination. Use your imagination and study out the history of books as you read them. Study out lives of great heroes of the faith as you read them. This will really, really help you have a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation for the Word of God. And I say you, but help us have a deeper appreciation and understanding for the Word of God. Today, I'm going to read an unedited journal entry called Past the Voices. This is an entry where I did kind of exactly what I'm talking about. I do not, again, seek to add to the Word of God, but a few Sunday nights ago in a worship service, the Lord just brought the story of the woman with the alabaster box to mind, and that was a very expensive offering. And I just had a few thoughts swirl in my mind of how much it cost her to get to Jesus' feet and all the voices she had to walk past. And so this is an unedited journal entry called Past the Voices. I heard Jesus is eating at Simon the Pharisee's house tonight. I am certainly not on the invite list, but how can I honor this man? He's meant so much to me. He's given me hope. He notices the one who no one else notices. He's worthy of some kind of elaborate offering. What can I do for him? The only thing I can think of that would be special enough for him is the oil of spikenard that I have in an alabaster jar. Why would you, of all people, go uninvited and interrupt a meal in Simon's house to bring a gift to this rabbi? You know who you are. You are a sinner. Who do you think you are? Most likely they'll kick you out. You can add it to the list of all the other shameful things in your life. All the rejection. Why would he accept an offering from you with your history? Your past, your reputation, you're the last person who should be showing up to honor him. But I feel so strongly compelled to do what I can for this man, Jesus. I adore him, and I know it's such a ludicrous idea, but it's the thing I can do to minister to him. He has to be the Messiah. No one else could do the things he's done. No one else can teach the way he teaches. I have to try. I have to do what I could do. And so this woman in the city, which was a sinner, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She ignored the voices in her mind, and she gathered up her most prized possession, drawn, compelled to the feet of Jesus. Is that her? It looks like she's about to walk into Simon's house. What is going on? I highly doubt that she's invited. Who does she think she is? She's about to interrupt Jesus' meal with important people. She is going in. This woman gathered up her alabaster jar, her courage, and her determined worship. She entered a door where no welcome was extended. She walked past her fears, past the questioning faces of neighbors, and past the condemning voices, especially those condemning voices in her own mind. Are you sure you're really going to do this? No one in here has noticed you yet. You can quietly back out. You don't deserve to be here. You're just trying to get attention. Be quiet. I will bring this offering to Jesus. I will give all I've got. He's worthy, though I am not. And she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and anointed them with ointment. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. What if Jesus rejects this offering? This could end in so many horrible ways. I feel their eyes on me, but I don't care. I only care about giving what I have and doing what I can. I cannot stop weeping. I love him so much. Simon, I have something to say to you. Master, say on. A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? I suppose the one he forgave more. You have judged correctly. He's looking at me. He turned toward me. Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins are forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For the poor you have with you always, but me you have not always. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this man that forgiveth sins also? Leave her alone. She has done what she could. She is coming beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. I am stunned, shocked. Jesus is so righteous. You can feel purity and virtue when you're near him, and yet his response is so different than I expected. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Thank you, Jesus. It is impossible to describe the scene that just unfolded. I am forever changed by this encounter with Jesus. All my assumptions were wrong. All my fears were unfounded. In my mind, I fully expected his response to be much more like Simon's or Judas's. But he wasn't put off. He wasn't affected by what he certainly knows I am. They all know. He accepted me and validated my worship. I could see the love in his eyes. I could feel the compassion emanating from him. And it's left me different. I see him like this. To see him like this is to be changed, to live a life broken for him. This experience will impact me far beyond this moment. It's so much more than a broken alabaster jar. It's so much more than perfume wasted, as Judas said. It was something precious spent on someone so worth it. It was a costly gift. But what I gained by pouring it out on him can never be explained or measured or comprehended. I am different. My sins are forgiven. My life is changed. This experience will alter my future. I no longer feel defined by the labels and the history. I feel defined by him. The impact of this moment, the mercy I've witnessed firsthand, this collision with the Savior will change how I see everyone else. No one too undone, no one too far gone. If he will accept my worship, if he will validate and transform me, there's hope for anyone. I'm grateful I was brave enough to face down those fears, to walk past their stares and their jeers, If I had given in to the assumptions and the accusations, I'd never have experienced his love, his gaze, his goodness. I'm so beyond broken, beyond grateful that I didn't listen to those voices. If I had, I'd only have an alabaster jar and some perfume. Just like the woman, we are all required to walk past the voices that try to keep us from worship. We must walk past the voices that distract, the voices that say, "Who do you think you are to worship?" The voices of condemnation, the voices of unworthiness, weariness, assumptions, casualness, complacency. We must make it past all the voices to get into his presence and to his feet. And once we do, we find that worship will always be worth it because he's always worthy. And worship changes us because it transfers us to that place where we are changed from glory to glory as we behold the glory of the Lord. Walk past the voices. Walk past assumptions. Pour out your most expensive things on him. If not, all we have is an alabaster box and some perfume. Again, that was a little entry called Past the Voices. I want to encourage you today to slow down with the stories in the Bible. Don't create new doctrines. We cannot create new doctrines, but we can use our imaginations to imagine how those people felt. The human emotions that we deal with are the same human emotions that they dealt with. And I don't know exactly how this scene unfolded. I don't know exactly the things that this woman thought or the voices put there by the accuser. I don't know exactly what others thought as they witnessed this scene unfold, but I know the things I've walked past to get to the feet of Jesus. I know the voices that I've had to stare square in the eyeballs. The voices, well, it doesn't make exact sense, but I know the thoughts that I've had to overcome to get to the feet of Jesus and worship. And so remember, it's okay to slow down and it's okay to use your imagination as long as you're doing that within the context of truth and a sound doctrinal formation or foundation. And remember to push past every voice that would keep you from prayer, keep me from prayer and from worship. We were made for relationship, and we form a relationship with God as we talk to him in prayer and as we read his word. And we were made for worship. And we will always, probably while we're in our flesh, have to push past some voices to make it into worship and into his presence. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to meeting up with you again next Friday. If you have questions or to download a typed or a handwritten transcript of today's entry, you can visit megunedited.com. For now, go grab your journal and your Bible. I look forward to the power of this habit in your life. This is Unedited. This is for you. Happy, happy, wonderful, amazing, joyful, incredible Friday.